Well, because the Lord is on this great theme of light, I want to talk to you about it this afternoon. And if you'll take your Bibles in your hands, we'll come into the New Testament and we'll see something of the revelation of God on this wonderful theme of light. I know that there's sufficient in the Bible for us to keep going for sort of days on end along this great theme. But it's a tremendous one, in that you will remember that in the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, before God did anything else, when it says, "In the beginning God," the next thing is that you said that we find that God said, "Let there be light." Now, God is still wanting there to be light. Not just in the physical, material world in which we are living, of course, the light that's around us today. And we know how useless it would be us gathering together at all if we never had light. And when we haven't got light, man has devised a way to create artificial light. Because what could you do without light? The tragedy is often that in the things of the spirit too, there's been a lot of artificial light created. Man has created a lot of artificial light. I don't just mean now lighting candles in services or anything like that. But this is what's happened. And Jesus Christ warned about this. He said, when he was on earth, he said, "Now, if the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Have you got any light in you? Have you got any light in you? Now, you can only walk by the light. You can't walk without light. And it's a very, very important thing. You see then, it's light really that determines your life and your walk and everything. And I suppose by just watching you walk, that is where you go, how you behave, what you live, it's pretty obvious what kind of light you've got in you. All right, now I propose that we look into the scriptures and we take a line of revelation and we'll see how God will lead us. Let's turn, I suppose you'll think this is inevitable, to John's Gospel. The Gospel according to John, in the first chapter. I'm using the Authorized Version. We're told that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And immediately we're introduced to something which is very, very simple for our hearts to grasp, that we all know, that light shines in the darkness and it has to be seen. Now, this is the great thing about light. It has to be seen. That's the whole purpose of it. If the light cannot be seen, whatever is the use of it? And we're told quite clearly here that it's the life that's the light. If you've got a dark life, then that's it. If you're living a life of sin, then that's it. That's the light. That's what you're shedding for everybody to see. Parents shedding before their children sin, bad tempers, quarrels, and all this sort of thing, before children have a chance to learn anything else. Worldliness, just saying, "This is the way to live, child, what we're doing." You see? This is the kind of thing, this is the awful mess that we're in the world today. And the light has to be seen. And your life, whatever life it is shining before someone to see. Be very, very careful about that. Be very, very clear. And this then, being the important thing, is what God is concerned about. And he sent Jesus into the world to show the world how to live. That life is the light of the world. And if people in this world haven't got that life, they're in total darkness. It says in this verse, the darkness didn't comprehend it. Now, I don't know whether you've comprehended the fact that God intends you to live like Jesus. That's the tremendous thing that your heart has to grasp. And because that's so, immediately we ought to say to ourselves, well, do I live like Jesus? It's true you breathe the same kind of air that Jesus breathed. It might be a little sooty in London or something like that. But at least we know it's composed of oxygen and nitrogen. And you drink the same H2O that Jesus drank. And you have a body as he had. But are you living the life, the real life, that Jesus lived on this earth? Now, if not, beloved, the Lord sent that life in the world for you to see it. And it's so true, beloved. It's still the light of the world. It stands out. Still, after 2,000 years, it stands out. There's never been another person like him. There's never been another one. There have been all kinds of queer people making queer claims and queer religions and all sorts of things that people do. But there's never been another one equal to Jesus. Never. Nobody has ever claimed it so, anyway. People may say they like their religions, and they think their religions are as good as anybody else's, and they have comparative religions, and I don't know what they don't have, but nobody's ever been heard to say, or write in print, or anybody write about them, that their life was like Jesus. It's still the outstanding life. The fact of it is this, beloved, that in itself is the proof that it's the eternal life. And it emerged into this world. And now, since he died and rose, went back to heaven again, because it's still eternal, it's still there. It became visible in the darkness of this age for a while. And this is why there's never been a life like it before or since, because it's the only one. And it's still there. And it's still shining. And when it shone, people were attracted to him. Men wrote the book about him. All sorts of things took place, beloved. Him, this life, is unique. And yet, here's the glory of God. God has determined that if you will believe him, if you will take the steps that he says you should take, if you will make the response that you ought to make, seeing that God did such a great thing for you, and therefore the onus is upon you, and the responsibility is upon you to make the great response to this call, then, beloved, if you will do this, then God will do something with your life which will so transform it that in its measure it will be like that glorious life, and it will be light in this age. That's the glory of it. And so perhaps you're not surprised in the logic of the unfolding of the truth in the book. Here's another testimony to the glorious inspiration of the word. You go into the third chapter of John's Gospel, And this is what you will read. That God so loved the world, verse 16, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son. Now listen, God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. If you've got it in your heart or head, or anybody's told you that you're condemned because of the way you've been living, now understand, you're not. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn everybody else that wasn't living like him, but to give them an opportunity to come and receive his life and be like him. That's what he came for. So don't let anybody be condemned. This is love. We're in the love realm. And God so loved us as to give us the opportunity. Hallelujah. I don't know whether you want it. Here it is. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, praise God, but that we all, through him, might be saved. I'm putting it colloquially. I'm just transposing. It's the same truth. He that believeth on him isn't condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. This is a wonderful thing. The only begotten Son of God, his name is Jesus. And if you'll just believe that that is so, that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, you'll start to come out of everything. Start believing that. That the only begotten Son of God, his name isn't Joe, Dick, Tom, Harry, Mary, Janie, Jeannie, or whatever it is. It has nothing to do with the President of America or the Prime Minister of England or somebody out there in China. His name is Jesus. That's it. Glory. And we come this wonderful way. This is the condemnation. Light is come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Want you to notice the present tense. Not light did come into the world 2,000 years ago. Light is come into the world. It's here and it's come to stay. Praise his name.
Amen.
Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, now listen what God wants for you, cometh to the light. Now that's what God wants for you. He wants you, in the next thing of the step of the unfolding of this truth, since that light is come, and it shines in the darkness, you are to come to the light. We used, when I was a boy, I can remember it now, we used to go around the lodging houses all over in the real east end of London. Where are we? I better be careful. We're still east here, aren't we? But you're not really east. We used to go right. Oh, are we south east here? Sorry, all right. Really, right down there in the lodging houses. I left London when I was 13. I don't know how much work before that in the East End lodging houses of London. I used to go with my father and my mother. And I remember we used to sing one of the hymns, "Comes to the Light, It's Shining for Thee." Do you remember that one? It was in the old Sacred Songs and Solos book. I remember we used to stand up and sing this. Oh, sweetly the light hath dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. That's what we used to sing. And it's so tremendous. And God is wanting you to come to the light. Now, it doesn't matter how evil your deeds may have been. It doesn't matter how twisted you may have been. It doesn't matter how mixed up you may have been. It doesn't matter whatever it is. Doesn't matter what it is, beloved. God invites you to come to the light. Now, coming to the light, if you come, as you come, don't be surprised if your deeds get shown up that they're evil. Now, don't worry about that for the moment. If the light really shines on you, and you mustn't be afraid to let the Lord do it, don't be surprised if your habits and your practices and the way you've been going on are shown to be wrong. This is the thing that you've got to expect. I had to come and find it this way. We're to come to the light. Praise the name of the Lord. God is saying you must. You cannot have the benefits that God wants you to have from the Lord Jesus Christ unless you come entirely to the Lord. You must do that. You must come. So you must stop drifting. You must stop running away. You must stop hiding up. You must stop making excuses. You must stop feeling sorry for yourself or getting vicious with everybody. You must stop that. You must come to the light. That's what you must do. That's why it's shining. Praise his name. That's precisely the reason. And this, my beloved friend, you will find is the beginning of God's love to you in your conscious experience, that at last a light has shone in the darkness of your life that you can see. It may be the faintest glimmerings of hope for you. God intends you to move to it. What is it that lovely hymn verse says? But now a light hath risen to cheer me. Do you remember that? Great hymn, sweet will of God. And it's God wants you to move to it. Now you've got to do that. He's not going to drag you. If you don't make the response when the opportunity is given you, if you don't admit the darkness you're in when the light does shine, if you don't start to prefer what God wants for you in love, then prefer what you've been living in hitherto, then, my beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord won't force you. He gives you the opportunity to move to him. And his purpose in this is very, very wonderful. Let's go on in the same glorious book. We'll get to the 12th chapter. And when we get to chapter 12, we find this very, very scene. Jesus is speaking. He says in verse 32, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Amen. You know, he was talking about the way he was going to die. He was talking of being lifted up on that cross. And the great purpose of it was to draw. In other words, you're not just left to take personal decisions and say, I think I'll start to move toward the light. It isn't that, beloved. It is that Jesus Christ hung on that cross for you to draw you to himself. He loved you, friend, loved you personally, loved you deeply, loved you with this great and eternal and pure love that intends only to bless you. And he hung there to die actually in your place so that you needn't feel condemned. He died for your sin. How long have you lived in it? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You know how you feel about it. But he died as you for your sin. He took your place. He paid the awful price. He shed the blood of atonement. He will make you acceptable to God. He will take away the weight of your conscience. He will remove the binding powers of it that you can't break. He'll take away the habit thing inside you. He'll make you a new man. He'll wash you whiter than the snow. He did all this to draw you to himself, not to force you away, not to tell you you haven't got a hope, but to show you that he loves you. Amen. I'll draw you, he says, to myself. What a glorious thing this is. He's the light, beloved. He really shines in the darkness. There's no one else like him. None of them. Nobody who's ever talked about some queer kind of a religion. Anyway, old Moses didn't talk like this. David didn't talk like this. Joshua didn't talk like this. Isaiah didn't talk like this. Maotse's son doesn't talk. How do you pronounce it? He doesn't talk like this. Nobody talks like this. Marx doesn't talk like this. The Maharishis don't talk like it. Nobody talks like it. Jesus talks like this. The flower people don't talk like it. The dope peddlers don't talk like it. The rum runners don't talk like it. Hollywood make film filthy things. They don't talk like it. Jesus talks like this to draw you to himself. Amen. You know why, don't you? Because he loves you. Because he wants you. Praise his wonderful name. Now, this is wonderful. Let's read this on, shall we? And he goes right on. And we get to verse 35. And he says, yet a little while is the light with you. He was talking with them on the earth, you see. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye might be the children of light. Now this is what God intends you to do. He intends you to see the light, come to the light, believe in the light, and become a child of light. Now that's what he wants. He wants you to be a light child. A child of light. Marvelous, isn't it? Well, you know what that means, don't you? If you're going to become a child of the light, this means to say you've got to have a real birth. You can't have children without birth. There's got to be a tremendous ending of the old. There's got to be a parting up with all the past. You've got to be born of that light. I don't know you really much personally, but I know that there came a time in my life when I wanted to be light, I wanted to be pure, I wanted the glorious qualities of the life of Jesus Christ. I wanted them to be mine. That's what I wanted. I wanted these things for myself. This is what he means. That you should be a child of light. Well, are you there? You answer the question, are you that? A child of the light of God, a child of the light from heaven, a child of the light of the ages, a child of the light of men. That's what God wants you to be. Praise God. That you should be as the Lord Jesus Christ, as we started out together thinking. And so the Lord moves toward us in this wondrous way. I don't know whether you've taken up all your opportunities. I suppose one of the greatest things that could ever break a man's heart is to realize how much of his life he's wasted. How many opportunities he's let slip. I'm constantly meeting these people. They've let this slip. They've let that go. They've lost this opportunity. Now, I don't just mean people who are avaricious and thinking of a way they could have made money or anything like that, but see through all these things down to the roots of it. What does it matter? What does it matter about any of these things? How much will £1 million be worth when you draw your last breath? How much will it be worth to you? Nothing. How much will it matter whether you've won £10,000 on the pools if you draw your last breath? How much will it matter to you? It won't matter whether you won it or lost it. Nothing counts. Nothing at all. Not really. In this tremendous realm, beloved, there's a life which is above all that. There's a life which is so far removed from all that. There is a life which is a heavenly life. God intends us all to live on this earth. And so, having come thus far, I want to take this thing through to the place where God wants us to go. For there's so much that the Lord has in his heart for us, beloved. But before we do that, we'll go back. I was going to say we're going to John's epistle, but we'll go into the 8th chapter. And in this 8th chapter, we have an illustration of how the light really works. Jesus goes into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he comes again to the temple. And the people comes to him, and he sits down and he teaches them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This, they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. So the Lord has taught us how to administer justice and judgment. Praise God. This is how law is turned into grace, you see. Law is turned into grace, beloved. Moses said, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Now then, how's he going to handle the law? He turns it into grace. He says, yes, it's perfectly right. Now then, you that's without sin, cast the first. Well, praise God. So he turns law into grace. He administers justice and judgment. It's a marvelous thing, you know, to be in this age of grace. It's a glorious thing. Amen. He turns it back on them. He addresses the conscience. And that's right. Grace brings things out of mere legality brings it out of all kind of codes and talks directly to the heart. And Jesus Christ leaves us gasping. Hallelujah. And they were all convicted by their conscience, and they all drifted out one by one, beginning at the oldest, and they went to the last, and Jesus was left alone, verse 9, and the woman standing in the midst. And Jesus, when Jesus lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. That's all he'd seen all the way through. He saw none but the woman. And he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto him, saying, "I am the light of the world." Have you seen the light? Have you seen how the light had worked in your case, in your sin? Look at this woman's sin, taken in adultery. Now the light would work like that in your case, with your sin. This fella was caught stealing, in the very act. All right, you that's without sin, you be the first one to put the handcuffs on him. Oh, this person was caught in terrible wickedness. All right. You that without sin, you be the first one to open the prison cell. That's the way. And the very one that was without sin himself, he said to her, "I don't condemn you." Now this is how the light works. This is why you can safely come to the light. You can even come to the light with all your family around you pointing the finger at you. You can even come to the light with all the people that know, all the people you've hurt, all the people you've wronged, all the people against whom you've sinned, and all point the finger at you like that, and you'll be safe. Providing you come to the light. You can come to the light, beloved. He says, "I'm the light of the world. Praise the day of the Lord." Well, is it his intention to let everybody get off scot-free for what they've done? Precisely. That's just what it is. You say, "What? Surely not." Well, that's right. You've said the exact truth. He let her go off scot-free. You say, "But that's..." That's right, that's just what he does. You haven't got a clue, really. No, you haven't really thought about it. This is how it all works. You come to him in all your sin. You come to him even if you've been caught in it. You can come to him and he'll forgive all. That's how the light works. Now, my beloved, you can see why you can come. Blessed his name. But in coming, you've got to have the intention of becoming a child of light, not just merely escaping punishment for your wrongdoing, but with the real intention, "Lord, I come to thee because I want a life like that." Well, really, do you? Do you want to forgive people that have wronged and sinned against you? Do you really? Now, be honest. Do you really want that kind of a life? Because that's the life that's got to shine as light in the world. That's the light. Do you really want to stop being a religious hypocrite? And talk about the righteousness of the law and all that. When Jesus did he didn't say that. He said, he just wrote on the ground. So he hadn't heard them. Say, "So, praise God. Amen. Do you really want to become a child of light? Do you? Or do you want to become some kind of a religious snob? What is it you want to become? Do you really want to be what God wants you to be? Do you really want to be a man of light or sit in Moses' judgment seat? What is it you want to be? I want to be a child of light, Lord. I want to so act that somehow through my life the love of God will penetrate and the grace of God will permeate and everything of the aching heart of God will come through to mankind to let them know how much He loves them. That's what I want. I realize that there are so many people broken and bent and torn and twisted in sin, and they've hardly had a chance. Look at the parents they've been born to. Look at them. You only need to know the parents and you can see how the kiddies have gone wrong. They didn't ask to be born to those parents. Any more than those children out there dying of starvation asked to be born that colour and unto those parents. They didn't. They didn't ask to be born in famine and war-torn countries. They didn't ask to be born in countries where it never rained for 2 or 3 years and the blade of grass never got above the sun-baked soil. They didn't ask. You see, God has sent His Son into the world, beloved, that's in a world that's gone wrong. And it's all twisted and broken and torn, and it's topsy-turvy and its values are wrong. I picked up a daily paper the other day, I was never more disgusted. And I read on the back page, I don't know what the paper was, perhaps some of you may have read it, said something about a team, and the value of the team was £1 million. 11 men, £1 million. £1 million to kill someone, that's what they'll do. Potential murderers. They'll foul them, they don't care whether they break their legs or their necks. Oh God, where have we got to? Hope you don't think you go mad and shout your head up and roar about that. £1 million! They were boasting of it. People think it's great. God save us. We're a nation gone mad. And we're in a world that's gone mad. Jesus Christ has called you to be a child of light. A child of light. Amen. All right. We'll go into John's epistle now. And in his epistle, in the second chapter, this is how that it functions. If you're a real child of light, 1 John 2, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Amen. Praise God. You see, God wants you so to be a child of light that nobody stumbles over you. They don't see you do a thing, or hear you say anything, or see you take up an attitude. They don't fall foul of you. All they see in you, my beloved, is the light that loves and loves and loves and loves your brother. Amen. This is a true child of light. The great commandment, beloved, that you've received of him. I received this commandment too of him. I tell you, I've received it. I've received it, this commandment, in the only place I can receive it. Not because God comes and stands by my bed and lectures me at my pillow every morning before I lift my head from the pillow. But he's written it inside this heart. I've received this commandment. Here it is. That you should love one another. That's right. That's the commandment. That commandment is written into me as the one of the mainsprings of my life. The other one is, I shall love the Lord my God with all my heart. We've received the great new commandment written into our lives. We should love one another. It was written into Jesus' life. He loved them, every one of them. Let's come back to this scene that we saw in John chapter 8. He loved that woman. She was wondering whatever in the world was going to happen to her. If it be true that this was the great God, or at best, so far as they thought, some prophet, as people were saying he was, this new prophet that was on the earth. Well, whatever would he say when she was arraigned before him and she couldn't even lift up her voice to deny anything? What was going to happen to her? And he loved her. And he loved all those men too. Every one of them. For he brought them up sharp and made them see that their business wasn't to go round finding people that they could victimize. Amen. Beloved, your job and mine is to love men and women. That's written into your heart. You'll never be a child of light. Listen, sir. You see, if people stumble over you in the matter of love, they stumble on the most vital thing. If men and women can't see that you love, if your brothers and sisters in Christ don't know that you love them, I want to tell you this, you're a stumbling block to me. And the true light is shining. It wasn't that the true light shone and then has gone. It's still shining now. As surely as we're here, the Lord Jesus Christ is loving men and women and calls you and me to love them too. And move in this great realm. And then we're not only to do this, but in John, the first chapter, those of us that were here together touched on this morning. In the first chapter, we are told this, that verse 5, we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, my beloved, if you will walk in the light on all these matters, you need have no fear about sin. None at all. If you'll walk in the light and be determined to be what Jesus Christ wants you to be, and live the life that Jesus Christ wants you to live, and love and be in fellowship, and all that Christ expects of us, you needn't have any more concern about sin at all. The blood will go on cleansing you all the time. You won't even need to ask for it. All you've got to do is to walk in the light. That's your job. I am not concerned to ask the Lord to cleanse me. I hear too much of it. They say, Lord, cleanse us. And brethren, they say they're elders and they're supposed to be leading the flock. Say, Lord, cleanse us in your blood. I never do. I walk in the light. And I am clean. He's cleansed me. It's a lot of old nonsense, all the other. Either they don't understand the truth or else they're deliberately living in sin. One of the two. The scripture says that if we walk in the light, his blood goes on cleansing us. Well, what's the use of asking if I'm clean already? Somebody doesn't believe truth. Here then is the marvelous and glorious thing. Now what a way we've come. First the light shone. Now we're to come to the light. Amen. Then we're to become a child of light. Then we're to act as a real brother in the family in the light. Amen. Now we're to walk in the light. Praise Him. Really walk in the light with the Lord. Now if you were to concern yourself, brother and sister, with walking in the light, go on, walk in the light. That's what you're to do. You're to get up off your dream seat and get off your bed of sleep, and you're to get out there and you're to walk in the light. That's what you're to do. Right out there in the light, amen, where everybody can see through you. Easy to see through him. That's marvelous. Transparent. You can see through this woman. She's as transparent as a bit of glass held up to the sun. Praise the name of the Lord. That's how your life is to be. So everybody can see it, friend. Walking in the light isn't a system of confession. Who did Jesus confess to? He walked in the light. He was the light. It isn't a system of confession. It may entail that at some time. Walking in the light, beloved, is being right out there, because the true light's shining. Amen. And the thing is true in him and in you. And you're out there in the full blaze of it with God. Amen. Glory. You're safe. I tell you, that's the only place you will be safe. That's the only place you will be free. That's the only place you will be clean. That's the only place where the blood will constantly affect your life. That blood he shed on the cross. Amen. Oh, this is the wonder of it, beloved. Just as that light has come and is now shining and hasn't passed away, and just as in your heart you, even though you may be far away from it and quite dead and dark, seem to have some inklings of what it all means, so this blood that was shed is still as powerful today in the hands of the Spirit, beloved. It can be applied to your life constantly, constantly. Amen. I believe in this constancy of God. I'm never worried in my heart. I'm never baffled in my conscience. I'm never down about this anymore. I see this as clear as anything. I got out in the light with the Lord a long time ago. I just keep going on, and I leave God to mind his own business. He keeps me clean. Praise his marvelous name. He keeps me clean. All I do is keep on walking. If you want to walk with me, brother, that's fine. But if you won't walk, I can't stop for you. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep going. And the Lord wants us to understand this, beloved. There is a way that God has devised to keep your life exactly like Jesus. There is a way that God has devised. I'm using a scriptural term. He devises means to bring his banished back to him. Amen. That you can come and in the skill of the Spirit of God, you needn't try and think it out. I'm always coming up against people who are trying to think this thing out. They get one scripture and they try to work it out against another, and they put something else, and they're all great people, and they put it somewhere else, and they bring something else, and they bring something else, and then it's something else, and then they finish up with a headache. They're in a muddle themselves, and they muddle up everybody else that listens to them. It's not your business to try and work it all out. Beloved, it's your business to walk, and God will work, and he'll keep you clean. What a marvelous thing this is, then, beloved. What a wonderful thing this is, to keep you in that place constantly with the Lord, with your life like his. Praise him. Praise his wonderful name. Have you learned this secret, walking in the light? Perhaps if I said, say yes or say no, perhaps you might say, well, I haven't got as far as that yet. I haven't even come to the light. Not really come to the light. I haven't really believed in this light yet. Well, it's true that you should believe in the light. It's right and it's proper, but you mustn't stay there. You've got to go right on walking, walking, walking with the Lord in this glorious light. And then I want to go back, beloved, with you into John's Gospel in the 9th chapter. In verse 5, you read Jesus' words. Listen, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What a wonderful thing to say. Now, before that, this is what he says. Verse 4, I must work the works of him that hath sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Praise the name of the Lord. Now then, if you really have been transformed and you're walking in the light, then you have to do works, beloved, that show you are the light. This embraces the whole of your life. You've got to stop, see? You've got to stop practicing the things you practice. You've got to stop walking where you've been walking. You've got to stop working and doing as you've been working and doing. Jesus did this to show he was the light of the world. Amen. You can't say things and in works deny it. Oh, what a tremendous thing this is to realize it. I'm the light of the world, he says. I've got to do the works of my Father. There are works of light. Oh, beloved, don't you see? There are things you do that people say because you do them or when you do them, I see. I see. Literally, this was the act of making a blind man see in this glorious chapter. And this is why the Bible is written, and this is why the Spirit of God has captured these incidents and enshrined them in the book for us, that we can see that God comes pointedly down to the thing to make us understand it. Beloved, your works have got to be works of light. What are you doing? It's no good saying, well, I believe in the light. I believe all about this. Unless your life is transformed because you're a child of the light and walking in the light, and you're working these great works of God for men not just to see, but to see by. It isn't that we want to be seen for what we do, but we are seen by what we do. And, beloved, other people are supposed to see by what we do. Works of love and works of power and works of grace and works of God. These are the things that we're supposed to be in. Now, look, let every one of us get our hearts fixed upon this. When we're a real child of light, then everything is consistent in the life. Let's take this one step further at least. And this time I want to turn you to a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians. And in the second chapter, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, and so on. To shine as lights in the world. So we've come then to being that light, shining as the light in the world. Well, are you? Shining as a light where you live. Is that right? Amongst the people that know you, shining as a light. You'll always know, as sure as you shine, someone's drawn to you. Someone's attention is attracted. Not that you stand up with a trumpet and start blowing a trumpet. You only have to shine, the world's so dark. The darkness is so gross. I think some of you have heard me say about a young man that came once to me, and he'd been on trips, LSD. And he came because he was in a dreadful state. Well, he'd started the ordinary way, you know, Purple Hearts and hash and so on. And he finished up taking the trips. And he came to me, a fine young fellow, And he was really, really concerned. And he said to me, "Mr. North, the first time I went on a trip, I was trying to find God. The darkness. Here they are, our young men, thinking I'll find God in drugs." This is what God is concerned about, beloved. Oh, be assured, as surely as you sit here, you be assured that there are those in this world who are really wanting to know. They're really wanting to find out. Yes. And as sure as you shine, beloved, someone will inquire. That's an absolute certainty. I didn't say everybody would flock to the light. I didn't say that everybody would inquire. I said that someone will. And this is the way. And that one becomes two. And that two becomes three and four. At least this is my testimony to you. Until it becomes hundreds. And then it becomes thousands. This is the way God intended it to work. This is the way it works, beloved. Surely this is my testimony to you. If you will bear with me for a moment to bring the personal note. As sure as God visited me and set me alight. Praise God. When I came to the light, I never left until I got through to the place where God visited me by the Holy Ghost and so baptized me in that blessed Spirit that he lit me right up. Praise God. I want to tell you that from that time, beloved, with the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours, it's gone through the dozens and the scores and hundreds, thousands. It's right. God does it. Amen. That's the truth. That's right. One man came into this world, the light from heaven. And he shone, and he shone, and he shone. He shone, as we've said and seen, by this work that he did on this blind man. He shone by what he said to that poor woman taken in adultery. Is that right? It says this in the opening chapters of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, especially Matthew and Luke now. You get into the fourth chapters, and it says that Jesus began to move about the shores of Galilee, that it might be fulfilled what the prophet said, "Them that sat in darkness, upon them hath the light shined. And those that sat in the region and the valley of the shadow of death, light is sprung up." Praise God. It sprung up from among them. He was a man like them. Praise the name of the Lord. But he was a different man. He was the God man. He was the man of light. Praise God. And the light sprang up and they saw it. And it wasn't long before Peter was following him and John was following him. Is that right? He called them. It wasn't long before they came and said, "We needn't be bound up in sin anymore. We needn't be possessed of devils anymore. We need not be twisted and torn and broken anymore." They came. The light shone. The light shone. And did you know that every church that we want to call a local church is supposed to be a light giver? That's right. A candlestick, as they're referred to in the opening letters in the Revelation. where the light shines, where the sick can come, where the demon tormented can come, where the broken can come, where the sinful can come, where the darkened and the desperate can come, and they can be healed and set free, and they can have the foreign powers cast out of them. Amen. That's right. And all the alien spirits gone, and a man can be made sane by the sanity of heaven. And a man can be made right, right enough for God. And if you're not right enough for him, for whom are you right? Does it matter tuppence about what they think? It only matters what God thinks. And he sent the light into the world. Brother or sister, you've got to be light as Jesus is light, or else you're darkness. You've got to be light as he is light. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. All right. Are you there? Have you ever really come to the light? Have you ever seen what it means anyway? Have you ever seen what it's all about? Have you ever seen what the call is unto? You're wasting your life. Of course you're wasting your life. Wasting time. Of course you've wasted time. Wasted opportunities. Unless you've come here. And if you've only just come and want to stick as a comer sort of thing, and not there where you've been transformed. Now, beloved, you've really frustrated it all. You must let the blessed Lord deal with you utterly. That's what you've got to do. Well, are you prepared to do that? The light shining for you. And somebody wants, one day I'm sure, this is what God wants anyway, that somebody from some place, sometime, will say, because they saw you, that the light shone for them. That's what. Otherwise, you have wasted the life you've got. That's it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you come. Come real and come true. I don't know where you are. You're someplace in what we've been looking at together from the Scriptures of Truth. You're somewhere in all this. That's the beauty of the Gospel. It covers us all. It includes us all. Now, where are you? You can move. You've got to move clear and deep from the bottom of you. You've got to respond. Let's pray, shall we?